It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today to study the precious Word. We're in John chapter 20. We're going to read from the 19th verse down through verse 29 from the on the 20th chapter, John chapter 20. Verse 19 through 29. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org, and that's all small letters. Our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Now let's begin to read the sweet word. It's wonderful to study God's word and take this time to do just that. John chapter 20, beginning to read with verse 19. Then the same time at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were they, the disciples, glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples, therefore, said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of nails, and put my finger into the print of his nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas said, Thomas with them, Then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither my hands, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. Let's begin with prayer today. Father, we thank and praise you for this opportunity to come together, study the precious word together, and to know your way and will. Please today that there'll be no one that's here as we look to these wonderful verses of Scripture that's listening today that does not know you as their Savior. But Father, I know better than that. I know that there are many and multitudes that hear the word, listen, said they enjoy it, and yet they do not know you as their Savior, their personal Savior. Please, Lord, today that they would come to know you as their Savior. They would trust in you today, call upon you today. Please, that they would not miss an opportunity to become a child of God. They need to confess their sin. They need to call upon you for salvation because, Lord Jesus, you died on the cross for them. That sweet gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We talk about the sins today, the remittance of sins. Please, Lord, help us to understand those verses of Scripture and how we can have our sins taken away. Guide and lead us now as we study this precious word, your precious word today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Wonderful to come and enjoy the word, trust in the word, study the word. We're going to begin with the 19th verse. We really, last time we were together, got down through the 20th verse. But we do have a couple of things in verse 19 that I would like to continue to study just a little bit more so that we can know and understand it completely. It says, Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and said unto them, Peace be unto you. This is the first day of the week, his resurrection, the first day of the week. You know, we find in the wonderful Scripture, Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, and I would like for you to open that verse of Scripture with me, Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. And just listen very carefully. If you took time to turn to it, wonderful. If you didn't, just listen to the verses today. Genesis chapter 2, beginning to read with verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day God worked his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that it is he that he had rested from all his work which God created and made. The seventh day, also known as the Sabbath day. And we look here in the on the 19th verse of chapter 20, it's speaking of the first day, which is Sunday, the first day of the week. The seventh day of the week ends with Saturday, of course, and that's also known as the Sabbath. The seventh day of the week, the Sabbath day, Saturday. You know, the work here, it honors the memory of God's finished work of creation. That's what Saturday does, a Sabbath. It honors the memory of God's finished work of redemption. That's as clear as we can place it so that you can understand the seventh day of the week. God rested on the seventh day of the week. We find he was given later directions as concerning resting on the seventh day, the Sabbath day. Now, the first day of the week, the first day of the week is known, according to Revelations 1, chapter 10, as the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, Sunday. And Sunday, different than Saturday. Saturday honors the finished work of creation. Sunday, the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, honors the memory of Christ's finished work of redemption. And so we have the finished work of creation, and now we have the finished work of redemption, the first day of the week. Now, many people believe that they've changed. We've changed the Sabbath. You know, today we've moved the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. No, we have not. Now, the day that I praise and worship the Lord is on Sunday. We're going to find the purpose of Saturday, and from the original plan that God had, it was not that they were to work, to worship on Saturday, to gather together, assemble together, and worship on Saturday. It was never intended. Listen carefully. Again, the seventh day of the week, the Sabbath day, Saturday, honors the memory of God's finished work of redemption. The first day of the week, the Lord's Day, according to Revelation 1:10, honors Sunday honors the memory of Christ's finished work of redemption. One is the memory and the honor of the finished work of creation. This is the finished work of redemption, because, you see, we have the death, burial, and resurrection. All are vital to our salvation and life, eternal life. And it was not completed until he rose from the grave. If he would have just died on the cross, and that would have been the end of it, there would be no life for you and for me. There would be no forgiveness of sins. It's because of the completed work, and that's what we find. And as he rose from the dead and is showing himself on the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, the finished work of redemption, that's the reason we worship the Lord and assemble on Sunday, because we praise and honor him for finishing a work that brings life to anyone that will come by faith to him. By faith, Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary that you and I can live. Please, that you look to the Lord Jesus Christ for life. You look to him that you may enjoy walking each day with him. But before you can even think or consider a walk with him, first of all, very first, must come salvation, a forgiveness of sins. Those sins need to be taken away, wiped away. Then you can begin that wonderful walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. As we look at the Sabbath, I want to show you that it was for the nation of Israel. Now let's look to Exodus. You probably still have, you know how I have two Bibles, at least two Bibles always. So I keep one at John chapter 20 and the 19th through the 29th verse. And then I have my other Bible. It's the Bible that I usually preach from, matter of fact. in my hand, and I'm going to turn to Exodus chapter 20. I want to go to Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to read from in Exodus chapter 20, we're going to read verses 8 through 11. Now listen carefully to what this tells us. Exodus chapter 20, beginning to read with verse 8. This was given unto Moses. It was set for the nation of Israel. Exodus chapter 20, beginning to read with verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now we look to that verse, those verses of Scripture, because you see, we do not get our teaching, our understanding, the doctrine of this church, the doctrine that I follow, does not come from man. It comes from the Word of God. And so, why do we come together and assemble on the first day of the week? Because it is the Lord's Day. Because it's a day that we come celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, the finished work of redemption. Yes, on the seventh day, that's the first day, Sunday. The seventh day, the Sabbath day, was the finished of creation and a day of rest. You'll find, according to Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, it was given to Israel for a physical day of rest for man and beast, not a day of assembly and worship. Now, some folks today go together on Saturday. Now, if you want to worship on Saturday or on Sunday or on Monday or Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, you're welcome to. We should always honor and praise the Lord. We have set the day because it is the work of the Lord's day, the finished work of redemption. What a better day can we choose to come together to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, to come and know the Lord Jesus Christ, than that day, the first day of the week. If you want to meet on any other day, we meet on Wednesday for Bible study and love it. It's a wonderful time of study on Wednesday evening. And so it's not that you are confined, nor by law, in any way that you need to get to come together on a given day as it was before. But they began very quickly, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. The first day of the week. You know, on that first day of the week, Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, to Peter, the two on the road to Emmaus, and all the disciples, minus Thomas, and others, I believe, was in this room when he came in. We find that the early church, according to Acts chapter 20, verse 7, were coming together on the first day of the week on Sunday. The Sabbath, Saturday, we connect with the law. The Lord's Day, the first day of the week, we find grace and peace. So you see, we're still under the law. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, he finished the work. He completed every part. He dotted every I and put every period into the law. Wasn't one thing that he misrepresented or did incorrectly in fulfilling the law. It was finished. Now, we have them as our guidelines, but we are not under the law. But the confusing thing that I see today with those that go to church on Saturday and feel that they are required to do so, they are changing the Word of God, because it is a day of rest only. It is not a day to travel, to go to church, to meet with other folks, to hear the Word of God, to assemble together for worship. It is not for that purpose at all. It is for the purpose of rest, physical rest. Now, to enjoy and meditate upon the Lord by yourself, with your family there, that's fine. But it is not set for a church service at all. Now, that was started by the Jews. That was started by the Israelites. It became tradition, not what the original law. We looked at Exodus 20, and we read back in Genesis chapter 2, the seventh day of the week, God rested. He refers to that here in Exodus as well. So please do not misunderstand that you can worship and praise God anytime and should anytime and all the time. But for to say that we are required to meet on the Sabbath is under the law of the Israelites, not under our law. We're not commanded in any place through the Scripture to do such a thing. And so please, as you look to leadership of how to serve God and how to worship God, let's not use man's understanding. Let's go to the Word of God. It is simple and it is clear. Why do I come together and worship with the folks in this church on Sunday morning? Because I'm coming to celebrate my risen Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ that died on the cross of Calvary, that I can live. That's why. And I enjoy coming. It's the day he finished the work of redemption. I am not commanded by any scripture to go and to abide by something on the Sabbath, which the Sabbath was set to rest, not for worship. The Scripture does not command the Gentiles or the church to obey the Sabbath. And maybe you haven't recognized it, but of the Ten Commandments, nine are repeated. There is one that is not. The one that is not is concerning the Sabbath. Let's look to the end now of verse 19. We'll begin with the first part of 19, read through it, and then finish 19 out. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. What wonderful words that come from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, to these believers, to these folks that have come, waited, and anxiously await to see the risen Lord. It's wonderful. Peace be unto you. You know, he could have criticized them for their unbelief, because Thomas, yes, was called Doubting Thomas, but he was not alone. There were many that kind of refused to believe the truth, to believe the Word of God. God told them, we've read it before, the many times that God said, I will in 3 days rise from the dead, but they just didn't listen. It wasn't something that they could understand with their mind at all. And so, isn't it something how when he comes, he tells them, peace unto you. When we meet the resurrected Christ, the living Christ, in his glorified body, that will be peace, peace with God. We meet Jesus Christ. I went to the cross of Calvary the day I recognized my sin. The Holy Spirit convicted my heart of my sin. And when I recognized that, recognized my condition, that I was a sinner and lost, recognized that I needed Jesus as my Savior, and he was the only Savior, again introduced to me by the Holy Spirit, and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. And the first thing that came with that salvation was with peace, peace with God. And it tells us here wonderfully, peace be unto you. And that's exactly what you'll have. You will not have peace without Jesus Christ. You will have peace without Jesus. You cannot have peace with God. You can have and will have peace. If you turn to him, follow after him. Look to verse 20 now. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. He immediately showed evidence that he was truly the risen Lord. It's the same thing that's going to happen to you. The day that you surrender your sin, you recognize that you're a sinner and recognize Jesus to be your Savior, come by faith to him, he will begin immediately to show you evidence of that to be a truth. And to be a believer is not to walk blindly, to be a Christian. to be a born-again believer is one that has many evidences to show us clearly that Jesus died for our sins, went to the cross of Calvary, died for our sins, was in the grave 3 days and three nights, came out of that grave alive. He tells these disciples that I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you a comforter. That great teacher, the Holy Spirit, came into every heart that come by faith to Jesus, came into my heart the day I met Jesus Christ, and he continues to show me and grow me in very clearly the evidence, wonderful evidence, that is true and is right. And until you come by faith to the Lord Jesus, will that evidence begin. So please, I'm asking you to walk by faith, but it's not a blind faith. It's a faith with evidence. So please come to the Lord Jesus today and begin that walk. Hold on to your baptism, your church membership. So sad today that so many folks ignore the personal relationship with Jesus. They have everything else, but unless they receive this free gift of salvation that's offered to them through and by the Lord Jesus Christ in his shed blood, there'll be no life. There's no eternal life for you until you come by faith and trust in him. In many places, many churches has changed that and placed works upon it and not upon the grace, saving grace of God. Please that you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one place to find peace, and that is in the person of Jesus Christ and in his work, not your work, but in his work, the work of redemption, something he finished on the first day of the week, on Sunday. That's why I come and I worship and I praise his name on Sunday and on Monday. And on Tuesday, and on Wednesday, and on Thursday, and on Friday, and on Saturday. It's wonderful to praise his beautiful name, his wonderful name, that saving name of Jesus. We look to the 21st verse. Then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Look at this wonderful. He shows them his hands, his side. He gave them evidence. Look and see. Come and see. Taste and see. It's wonderful. Every invitation that he gives you so that you can confirm, but you've got to come by faith before you can get that enjoyment of that peace and that knowing, that satisfaction of knowing that it is real and it is right. Come by faith to Jesus and he will begin to teach you his way and his will. We find once again, peace unto you. We have the evidence provided in the 20th verse. Now once again, we have those words. Then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. So send I you. The work begins. You know, we're not setting out, and we talked about this last time we were together just a little bit, that we're not to just sit down and be hampered and babied. We are to take out this wonderful word, the words of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please look to him today. You know, there are the peace that we have here. Peace will come upon salvation. And there will be a peace that continues because of our fellowship. Now, if we will look back to Matthew, my Bible is still sitting at the verses of Scripture back in Exodus, my other Bible, but I will soon turn to Matthew, and I will look to Matthew chapter 11. And we have a couple of things here in these verses that you need to see. I hope that you're aware of them because I've preached about them, I've taught about them, we've talked about them many times. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. And the 28th verse says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace. Then verse 29 says, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. To begin with, we're to come unto Him, all that labor and are heavy laden. We're burdened down with the old world, with the sin of this world, and we need to have victory. We need redemption. We need salvation. And that will come when you come, and immediately upon coming, you'll find the rest, the peace. But it'll also continue, not only the salvation you've found in your heart, but even in living in this wicked, complex, sinful world. We can find peace and joy and comfort, and that will come when we take my yoke upon you and learn of me. We need to hand the burdens over to the Lord and let Him carry. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Learn of me. We need to study and search the Word of God, know, learn the will of God, the way of God, that we may walk each day pleasing Him, because when we do, we will find a great wisdom of how to walk, how to serve the Lord. That wisdom, that understanding will come, and it will give us such a peace, even though we're in this troubled, sinful world. We will have a peace and a joy to walk with each day. When we look back at these verses of Scripture, and we find in verse 19, it says, then the same day, I'm back in John chapter 20, verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. See, he's not bound by the physical requirements, restrictions that we are today in our earthly body. We too, when we have our glorified body, will be able to move from place to place, not confined to walls and things of that sort. We see the Lord Jesus giving us that example right here. Won't it be wonderful the day we meet Jesus Christ, come to know Him as our Savior, walk and serve Him through this life, and then whether He comes to get His church at the rapture of the church, or I die and go into the grave and then await the rapture and receive my glorified body. Oh, that's going to be a wonderful day, not having aches and pains and be able to have the wisdom of God and to know it. Today, the things that I can study, and then it's so quickly that I have forgotten and I need to study again because it just seems to leave my mind. And please, that we can enjoy the presence of God continually, eternally. So please remember, look forward to that. But here we find as He comes in, and His first words is, peace be unto you. I have finished my work of salvation. Redemption is yours if you'll just come by faith. Peace can be yours if you'll come. And then we look down at verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. You see, these verses are much like the verses we have back in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. And then verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. We find that both will bring peace. One, we find, is peace that is given as He shows Himself as the resurrected Christ. I have finished the work of redemption. And in verse 21, that's in 19, in verse 21, it says, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. You see, He's beginning to give the instructions to those that are saved that there's a work to be done. There's a proclaiming of the Word of God, and it's so important to be ready to proclaim that precious Word, tell people about Jesus Christ. It's wonderful to know Jesus as our Savior. It's wonderful to be a believer in Jesus Christ, and you can have that free gift today if you will just come by faith and trust in Him today. Please listen to those words. He died for your sins. You're a sinner. You're lost. You need Jesus as your Savior. You must come to Him today. I'm going to ask you, as I do continually, we love talking about the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We looked at Sunday being the day of celebrating to remember His resurrection, the finished work of redemption. My dear friend, I'm going to ask you that same question. What are you going to do about Jesus.